Welcome to another City Coast Church podcast. For more information, please visit our website at www.citycoastchurch.com.au.
Hello. Good morning. Can you hear me? You may take a seat. Morning, church. How hot's it been? I cut my hair off. It was that hot. Is that all right? Could not survive any longer in this Bundy humidity. I feel like you tricked us because our first year here did not have this humidity. And now it is like, hello, here it is. And this is what you all have to put up with. But I'm excited to preach the word this morning. I do want to tell you about something really cool, really quick. We have put together a beautiful gift certificate that you can now purchase from the hub to give to people to spend at the pantry. And the reason we've done this is because people want to find a lot of way to bless people. And so we're often buying Woolworths cards and, you know, different types of gift vouchers, and we want to help people all over across Bundaberg. But we thought we would love to be able to bring them to the store here. And it's not so that we can make more money, it's so that we can engage with them here. Yeah, so when they come and shop here, not only are they getting, you know, low-cost groceries and it's going to bless them, but it means that our beautiful team and volunteers who serve in the pantry are going to be able to get around them. And the whole point of that place is to connect them to this place and to connect them to Him. And so that's our mission outreach over there. And so we just want to make these available for you. So you get to choose how much you want to put on them, 5, 10, 100, 500, whatever you want to do. And you just head to the hub after the service anytime, any week, and you can charge them up there, get a signature on there, and then hand them out. Isn't that cool? So let's just bless Bundaberg. Let's just get them in the house of God, whatever way that creative ideas we can come up with to get them to engage with us and our team would be amazing. Awesome. Well, I've preached this message on myself. I've tested it and I feel good after doing it. So I hope you feel good when you leave this morning. It's pepped me up. I'm going to tell you, it's a message that is going to pick you up. That's what I'm believing. If you walked in here a bit meh today, I'm hoping that this message is going to pick you up. And I did feel like that there was some of you who maybe have headed into your 2024 a little apprehensive. You know, you're cool, New Year's Eve is over, everyone's celebrating it, and you're trying to get yourself into that happy place of looking forward. But I did feel that some of you have been questioning, is this year going to work out for me? A few of you have been thinking, you know, is God going to come through? Am I actually going to have a good year this one? Am I going to be all right? Is God going to do what He's told me He's going to do? Is He going to carry me through? Can I trust God? And this morning I want to really bring some life into you, into your thinking and into your spirit, and hopefully lift that faith inside of you to see this year with a lens full of life and hope to what God can do in and through you. Is that cool? Awesome. So my prayer today is that I encourage you in two things. It is this: one, to increase your faith, and two, to increase your capacity to receive all God has for you. And you may be thinking, you know what, I've gone into this year pretty pumped. For you, I'm hoping this message takes you to a new level. It's going to level you up. You're already on the starting line feeling good. That's good. And I'm hoping this now gives you some fire in your belly to see yourself level up. I've been involved in event management since I was around 18 years of age, and I was mentored by a woman who was amazing in this field. She was worth a lot of money, her expertise, and she was contracted by some really big companies and organizations. She sort of tucked me under her wing, and I tried to glean and learn off a lot of her. She was a mum. She was strong, but she was also lovely. She had a capacity like I'd never seen. I just followed her around in these young adult forming years, and I was so inspired by this woman. Her ability to juggle things, have so many balls in the air of different projects and responsibilities of being a wife and mum, but also work and ministry. And I was so inspired by her in these young adult years that I just lent in to watch, because I saw that there was something in some people's lives called big capacity, and she had it, and I wanted it, because I could see that she was able to get to the end of her day and feel like she had accomplished much. And so I found myself in that early 18, 19 years old, feeling like God used me in big ways and give me the capacity to be able to handle all the things that come my way. I wanted to be able to get to the end of my life and say I lived it to the biggest and fullest of the calling on my life that I possibly could. And now 20-something years later after I started event management, I'm going to put it into one sentence today. I had to rack my brain this week to say if I could say one thing that I've learned in this period of being able to manage lots of projects at once, where would I come to? And it's this. The more faith I built in me, so the more faith that grew, the more capacity I built to receive. The more faith I had, the more I built, the more I grew, the more faith I believed in God, the more capacity I had to receive what God had for me. So you're saying, Joey, hang on, the more faith in God, the more you could do. Yeah, I kind of am. I kind of am saying that. The more that I grew in my firm, in having firm faith, in reliance and in trust in God, the bigger that I believed, the more that I knew that God was King, the more I was able to receive from God and all He had for me. And I'm going to break that down to you today. Faith is believing in a God who knows exactly what He is doing. I do. I believe that God knows exactly what He's doing. And after testing this many times, I figured out that when I said yes to God, so all the opportunities and open doors that were coming my way, when I said yes to God, I put my faith in God, I was in a position to then receive from Him. I was like, yeah, okay, I trust You, like I would trust my own natural father, that if I trust Him, He's going to give and I'm going to receive from Him. I knew that when I trusted God, I also learned this. He trusted me. I had Him as my firm foundation, like that song says, the rock on which I stand. And I knew that whatever would come to me, whatever came towards me, good or bad, this is not just project management. I'm talking about all life circumstances. I could stand on Him and know that I could trust Him. In event managing, I had to learn quickly in the very deep end to be able to juggle many balls at once, multiple projects, staff conflicts, changes, weather conditions, bulk things at many times. Also, while having 3 children under 5 at the time, not being married that long, and having many, many things to juggle, how do you do it all? I have to have a faith in Jesus. I can have as much experience and tuition in the world. But let me tell you, when the crunch comes to crunch and the pressure comes, it doesn't matter what I know in the book. I need to know the right book, and my faith in God is what's going to help me through. You know, by my 30s, so from 19 when I started event management, by my 30s, I found myself getting invited to be at a lot of masterclasses and panels speaking in regards to how do you balance it all? How do you control all this happening in your life? Well, I don't control it. It was the most familiar question is, how do you balance it all? That's not even real to balance it all. Something's always going to take priority. If you were to ask me right now, Joey, how do you balance it all? I would say this. I don't think balance is real. I think we just prioritize God. I don't think we can tangibly have everything perfectly balanced. I think we have to get into a posture of faith in God. So the stronger and bigger my faith became, the more unwavering my faith became, the more confident in who I was. I became more confident in who I was and whose I was. Okay, that's a big deal. Becoming confident in whose you are and what I was called to do, be, and what I could handle. This increased my capacity to receive all God had for me. Now, the next project then could come, and with a holy confidence, it's a good 2 words to put together, with holy confidence, I could handle it. By the grace of God, we can handle it because I knew He would carry. And so right now, you're probably thinking of all of the things in your life. So, oh my gosh, yes, that's right, Joey. I'm studying this year. I'm working. My kids have gone back to school. I've taken on this new business. I'm doing this. And you're like, yes. How do we do this today, Joey? I hope you're going to tell us the answer. I'm just going to preach on faith. because that's my answer for being able to juggle and receive more and more and more of what God has called you to do and be in your life. You know, if my shop, if my life was all over the shop and my house was constantly messy and my priorities were out of whack, my spirit man was starving, I didn't have discipline in my relationship with God, maybe my personal relationships weren't good, maybe I didn't have all this good fruit coming out, because that's probably what would be happening if all of that was also happening, I would not be in a very good position to receive more, right? I'd be a bit of a hot mess. I would be down trying to pick up the balls I'm already dropped and they're everywhere. But there is something really important about being ready. About being ready for what God has for you. And if we're so caught up in living these hot messes of lives where our finances are all over the place and all of these things are out of order because you haven't prioritized, I feel like you're scrambling like this instead of like this. The priorities in your life have to come in order. And number one is your faith is in Jesus Christ. I've seen God pour out in my life the most when I am walking in sync with Jesus. When I am walking with Him, when my spiritual disciplines are good, when I'm talking to Him, when I'm in prayer and I've got my finances in order, my marriage, when I'm in sync and I see, because it's not like you get good faith and your marriage is perfect. It doesn't work like that. But when you're in sync with Jesus, your character man is doing a whole lot better. The good fruits in your life are outpouring, so it's going to overpour into your marriage and the way that you do things. And so when I am walking in sync with Jesus, I find that He is also leaning into me and I'm ready to receive all He has for me. When I prepare myself for opportunity for breakthrough, God shows me He is God. He's like, I can see that you're ready and I'm ready to pour out on you. Before He trusts us with the next, I reckon He calls us to prepare. You know, a couple of years ago, actually probably more than a decade, I had a role change within a big organization and it greatly affected me. I was like, oh, I was thrown out. The people that I was looking after all changed and it was a real season of drought for me. I even had in the natural, my big office changed to a tiny little one, Jono. Like I just became a little guy, right? And I was like, what is happening? I felt just like beaten, like what is happening? The teams changed, all the organizing change was a structural thing, and I think it was just a structural flaw. And I found myself in this place of just like, what is happening, God? And I heard Him say this to me, put your head down, put your head down. And because what I wanted to do is I wanted to walk around and like, what's going on? Like, what, fix it? Like, you know, I don't care about the small office, but why do I have this? And like, you know, why do I not already, and I'm not overseeing teams now, I'm not overseeing, like just change and it threw me for six. And I felt Him go, shh, put your head down. And that to me was just do the job you're called to do right now. And so I did. Oh my gosh, it was like sucking lemons. It was horrible that year. I hated it. I look back at it with pain. No, I don't. I look back at it and go, that was a really good thing that happened to me. I heard the Holy Spirit say, shh, put your head down. Stop complaining. Stop trying to manufacture change. Stop trying to get ahead with me with times, but sit in the pocket of what is happening here and trust me. That year was the greatest year, honestly, in hindsight, of character building for my life, of submission, of submission. It taught me to trust God. It taught me to shut up more. It taught me to prepare my heart. I had to build my faith and trust in God that He would come out. And gosh, did He. Gosh, did He. After that season, everything changed and accelerated. And I didn't stop running for the next 10, 15 years. Adam's like going, you did not. He trusted me when I took the time to lead in and allow Him to prepare me for the window that was next. So today you're coming in here maybe going, I don't know what this year looks like. Don't get ahead of the Lord's plan. You may be thinking, I am already full and overflowing and I don't even know what God's going to do. Don't get ahead of the Lord's plan for you, because maybe this year is the stretching of the tent pegs to allow God to put more in your life. And what we won't want to be doing is down here going, but I'm already full and I don't know how to fit in. And where is my eyes? Not on Jesus. My eyes need to be fixed on Jesus with my hands open to receive all he has. And the only way that we can get ourselves to have these arms out is to just believe and trust God. It is freeing. Let's look at the woman with the oil. Let's look at 2 Kings 4. This is a great story about what I'm talking about. Let's read it together. 4 verse 2. Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me what do you want? What do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." It's all she said she had. Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." And then the oil stopped flowing. The oil only ceased when she had no more containers to hold it. If she had gathered 100 more containers that day, we'd like to think that the oil would have just kept filling up, increasing her capacity to receive. The oil would have continued to flow. And it is the same with us. If I'm in a position to catch the ball that is coming my way, if I'm coming in a position to catch the opportunity, catch the miracle, catch the breakthrough that God is about to shift and change in my life, I'm going to get ready. I don't want to be distracted. I don't want to not have enough oil jars ready to receive all he has for me, because I'm so busy distracted complaining that my stupid son couldn't find another oil and this man, blah, 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 blah. Lizzie, you can blame the world. You can blame your circumstances, or you can own it. You can stand in that position and own it and say, "I just need to get my stuff in order and I need to be ready. I need to have enough oil containers that God is just going to keep pouring out on me." You know, for me, I've had to build my muscle of faith to believe that God has called me to big things. You got to believe that God has called you to big things, that we can handle and manage great things because he believes in us. When our faith is increased, we are increased. That was a big intro. The title of my message is "Don't Stop Believing." Don't stop believing. Can you do it? Adam did it straight away. As soon as I said it, he went to the... Jono, you did it, didn't you? I want you to open your Bibles to Romans 4:16. And I'd love you just to keep it on your lap. We're going to jump through this scripture several times today. Romans 4:16-21. Let me read it for you. It is on the screens if you don't have your paper. Here we go. "Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, 'I have made you a father of many nations,' in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform." Now, this is an awesome set of scriptures, and it gives us great keys on how to increase our faith. And I'm going to give you a couple of points this morning. I'd love you to stew on that scripture, stew on these notes this week, and see where you end up. Here we go. The scripture starts with Abraham, who is the father of us all, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Number one, building your faith. Call those things which do not exist as though they did. We must declare and decree what the Word of God says in the midst of opposition and impossibilities. We can't look how currently it is, how chaos it is, how obstructive it is. We must call the things that be not as though they already are. This is your moment, church. January, the start of the year, not tomorrow, not when things start to look better, now. You've been standing and believing maybe for the same thing to happen for a long time. We've all been there, and it is a fight to get to the other side of it. That's why it's called the fight of faith. But one important step you must take, which Abraham took to move his promise into manifestation, is this. That step is calling things to be not as they are, to be not as they were. Build your faith from speaking and claiming the promises of God in your life. The greatest asset and revelation I've had in my faith walk is being able to stand and declare the promises of God for my life. Let me give you some supporting scriptures for power of declaration. I think they're all together. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love of it will eat its fruits. Mark 11. Truly I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, be taken up and thrown to the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Mark. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you've received it, and it will be yours. These are good things. Romans, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Declarations of God's promises and faith confessions have been the greatest asset of my life. If you are not doing this, I encourage you strongly as your pastor, start doing it. Start confessing to know who I am, to know who I am, to know the authority that has been given to me. I'm able to declare and speak into the Spirit, calling things into existence and into alignment, into the will of God. Yeah. I choose to apply the scriptures to Corinthians, for we walk by faith and not by sight. In the natural, it looks hard. In the natural, it looks like it's not budging, it's not changing, I can't get a breakthrough. But we walk by faith in our good, good Father that He is in control. In the natural, it may look like a mess. In spiritual eyes, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So you're looking at your chaos, you're looking at your overload, you're looking at the lack. In my natural eyes, this year is not looking good. In my spiritual eyes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do this. I can do this job another year. I can lead this person. I can stand with my husband. I can do this because God is in control. He holds the timeline. I'm looking at Liam right now, him and Alyssa leading our young adults demographic. He can look out into the city and go, man, these young adults, they need to get out of the clubs and the pubs and the drugs and the street, and this is massive. How do we reach them? You know, the scripture says that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So Liam can stand strong and start declaring, the young adults of Bundaberg will not perish but have eternal life. We start declaring it. We start claiming, and I've talked about this before, we start circling things in the spirit. The young adults of Bundaberg, my marriage will be restored. Amen. Yeah. And we start confessing it and declaring in the spirit these scriptural things. If it's God's will, if it's scripture, declare it like it already is. Yeah, right. Yep. Number two, to increase your faith, hope against all hope. This means hope that it will happen, although it seems impossible. That's what that statement means. Hope against all hope. And it's about Abraham in Romans 4. He says that Abraham, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed. He hoped against all hope. Paul the writer says that in hope, Abraham believed against all hope. He believed when there was no reason, at least none he could see, to believe. Instead, his faith was grounded in the promise of God alone. Against any human reason, Abraham believed. There was a divine ground for his hope, but no human ground for it. How many times have we heard, there's no hope for you? There's no hope for that. Let me remind you, those are not the words of my God. They are not the words of God. In fact, Romans 5 says this, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. When someone's saying there's no hope, that's the scripture we're pulling out. As believers, we are not hopeless. We are not hopeless. But Joey, I'm exhausted. I'm struggling to find hope. There is a scripture for everything. And that is the cycle that we do. We get burdened, we get exhausted, we get our faith level drop, we're in despair. We open the Word of God and we find the fight of faith. You're feeling exhausted? Isaiah 40, for those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. It's hope again. You're feeling exhausted, you're feeling like, I feel like I've fought this the whole time. Those who hope in the Lord, He will renew their strength. Aren't you grateful?
Yes.
We don't have a dead end. We don't have a dead end without a spear. Promises from God you can depend on. Choosing to hope against all hope will increase your faith. You will continue to build your faith and your fighting muscle. And you know what I've found? When I need that muscle to work for me, I need it to be already there. And it is normally already there. When I need to be able to fight in faith, I need to have spent the time building my faith. So when I need to activate it, it's like a button and the fight faith is electrified to go and fight and rise again. You know, sometimes I get a righteous anger come over me when the enemy is trying to rip somebody off. How dare the enemy try and rip you off, trying to bring sickness to your life or trying to bring obstruction in your marriage or break things apart. How dare he? And I get a righteous anger come over me and that faith fight bruise and pours out. You know, if you would have seen Pastor Adam on Monday night at prayer meeting, I think he had a righteous anger the entire hour. Charlene, would you testify? I'm like, whoa. At the end of it, I'm like, you're right, mate, calm down. Like, it was on. Adam clearly had his spirit alive and active, fighting for the people of this nation and city. It is okay to have that faith arise in you that ticks you off in a righteous way and says, enemy, you're not having your way. You're not having your way. Tomorrow night, come and see Pastor Adam get angry. Hopelessness is from the enemy, and he likes to wreak havoc in the mind, bringing doubt, suicidal thoughts, and tell you it is over. Right now, I break the power of those thoughts in the name of Jesus. We take authority over all thoughts that bring hopelessness into people's minds in this room right now, Jesus. And I break its power. And in Jesus' name, I speak hope, Lord. Hope, Lord. You want your faith to increase this year? Hope against all hope. Number three, build your faith. Refuse unbelief. Make a decision to refuse unbelief. Let's look back at the scripture. So that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. Now, very old Abraham and very old Sarah had no hope on a human level of having a child. And it was not reasonable for Abraham and Sarah to hope for a child in their old age. Now, hope in the English, it carries that idea of like uncertainty, like an unknown future or expectation. But biblically, hope expects good. Yeah. Hope expects good. Even more, it is confident that good will happen. There is a trust dimension to hope. There is a confidence in God in the exercise of hope. Now, Abraham's faith expressed itself in confidence in his God as the one who would provide a son even in the face of skepticism about what is happening. Biblical hope is confidence in God's promises by faith. Abraham and Sarah's bodies were becoming increasingly weak, I can imagine. But his faith did not weaken. Doubt was not in his vocabulary. He did not waver between doubt and faith. It said, Abraham did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief. Now, the word waver, it means divided, decide between. Sometimes we translate this word as doubt. Now, doubt is a divided mind, a mind that goes between faith and uncertainty. Abraham did not doubt God's promise. He did not waver at the seemingly impossible of having a child with Sarah in his 100th year and she was 90. He did not permit to allow unbelief to come in and judge God's promise. Do we do that? Yikes. When we know the promises of God in the Bible, maybe you've had prophetic words, maybe you've had promises from the Lord come and sit in your heart. Do we judge the promises of God? The nature of faith is to trust God. Hebrews 10 says this, let us hold fast, I love this scripture, to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold fast. I'm talking like everything, like I'm gripping on. I'm holding on. I'm imagining that flipping rope on the back of the boat with the tire on the back and it's like this. I'm holding on to the confession of hope without wavering because he who's promised is faithful. He just is. Weak or wavering faith is doubt. Faith is weak when it allows itself to depend on human dynamics. Get this one. Faith does not reject reality, okay? Because I know there are circumstances. But it is not limited to the best estimates of what is possible. Can you say that again? Faith does not reject reality. There are real circumstances, but it is not limited to the best estimates of what is possible. Faith is not limited. Faith does not ignore the facts, but sees beyond them. You're thinking about, you need a change in a job this year. You need a up in finances or I'm going to lose my house. I need something to change. Faith does not ignore the facts, but it sees beyond them. My God promised, I will lack for nothing. Truth always rests on the facts of God's promises. Abraham believed God in spite of the circumstance that he was unable to impregnate his wife, for God had given him a promise. The situation did appear hopeless. But, there was a 25 period wait between God giving him the promise and the birth of his son. Faith rests in the idea that God promises. Abraham considered the reality of his situation, but the scripture said did not doubt. There is both a humility and a confidence in believing what God says. Yeah. Humility is like, okay, it's on you. I'm just letting you do it. Don't stop believing. Refuse unbelief. And stand on God's promises. We must refuse to consider anything but the word of God. We too must refuse to let anything move us off his promises. Amen. I reckon we should write that on our Bible this year. Yeah. Refuse unbelief. Don't let it snag us. Yeah. Don't let it snag you. Last point. Building your faith this year, we're going to give God glory. Let's read that scripture, the last of that. He did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised he was able to perform. Abraham's faith was strengthened. His faith was strengthened by giving glory to God. Our faith glorifies God. Have you ever thought about that? Because it inserts him as trustworthy. By having faith, we are saying, yes, God, we trust you. We're giving glory to him by having faith. Keith Moore says that a heart of thanksgiving increases your capacity to receive. If we complain and talk negatively about the promises of God, we're like, yeah, that's never going to happen. Yeah, cool, I've seen the Bible. Don't think it's real. It's never happened to me. It's probably not going to happen to you. Yeah, well, I've been waiting, blah, blah, blah. And we talk negatively about the promises of God. We are then wavering and we won't receive from God. Yeah. However, if we cultivate a heart of thanksgiving amid our stand of faith while you're waiting, if we continue to give glory during the wait, we're waiting for the manifestation of the promises of God, our faith will increase. When we give thanks, we put God on the throne of our life. And we just can trust and wait in His timing is better than ours. Thinking on the things that God has done for me, being grateful puts me in that posture and that position of having bigger faith. I look at the different areas in my life that I am so grateful for. And that reminds me that I can count on Him. Look at the things in your life that you could not have made happen on your own. The band can come. And you are able to truly say, because of the hand of God. That's what gives you confidence in your hope, confidence to grow in your faith, confidence to give Him glory because of what is about to come and change in your life. Refuse unbelief and standing on God's promises will change your year. Can we be upstanding this morning? I know that there are stories in this room of obstacles and giants you're facing. You're a giant. You've got what it takes. It's not going to beat you. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Refuse unbelief. Stand on the promises of God. Give glory to God. Trusting Him with your every step, He orders your step. And things can change in one hot second because His timing is perfect. We try to manufacture things all the time, trying to force and get rowdy and have big conversations. And we force the things and then we easily just slip out of the stream of the will and the timing of God. And then there's not often good fruit from that space. But when it's God's timing, when it's God's moment to kick down the doors, when it's God's moment to bring change in your life, to bring restoration in your life, to bring everything that you have been on your face crying out for, I just don't want you to stop believing. As you look to 2024, don't stop believing. Would you just close your eyes right now? While no one's looking. While no one's looking, I just want you to have an intimate moment in your heart, a self-reflection, and also with the Lord right now. If you're feeling like the giant's been sitting on your shoulders this past season, and this word was for you this morning, can you just lift your hand? I just want to know who I'm praying for. Yep, there's hands all over this room. God is more than able to do exceedingly, abundantly more than we could ever dream or imagine. And so I thank You, Lord, right now for these ones in this room who have had giants facing them. I thank You, Lord, that no weapon formed against us will prosper. And so right now, Jesus, I thank You, Lord, that the enemy is at play in these circumstances, where there is sickness, where there is broken marriages or relationships, where there is lack, Father, whatever it is, You know the secret prayers, God. I thank You with the authority invested in me, Jesus. Right now, I rebuke any works of the enemy. I call it out and we break its power. And I ask Jesus for You to come and bring a change and a shift in the name of Jesus right now. I thank You, Lord, that You are God of miracles. Those ones who need a healing in their body, I thank You the promises that we stand on, Lord, that by Your stripes, we are healed. So those who need a miracle right now, you're sick of being sick. I break the power of illness in Jesus' name, and I thank you, Lord, that they can walk again, that they can see again. There'll be no pain in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that your promises are true, Lord. Your promises are true, Lord. Exceedingly abundantly more, Lord. Lord, that we don't enter 2024 just being happy with whatevs. That God, we look to the heavens where our help comes from. We look to the heavens and put our trust in you, Lord, and know that you will order our steps. You will move mountains where there needs to be mountains moved. And I thank you, Lord, that more than just moving mountains, God, that I pray an outpouring of blessing and favor on the lives in this room today, Jesus, and to our online viewers today, God, that you would just come in to their space, Father, right now, God, pouring out blessings, Jesus, that we have faith to believe that your hand is not short, that we can trust in you, Lord, and we refuse unbelief. In the name of Jesus, we all said, amen. Woof. Amen. Charlie, let's go out singing again and again. This is just a beautiful song about this, and it's just, again, the lyrics this morning is just reminding us of this again and again. Come on, let's go out. Thank you.